Okay, so what are you looking forward to the most this year?
I'm looking forward to the most to the having the opportunity to perform at probably Australia's biggest contemporary music festival called Splendour in the Grass, which is coming up at the end of July. It's a festival. I don't have all the people in front of me who are doing it, but there's people like Lana Del Rey, Smashing Pumpkins, and a host of other sort of contemporary bands coming to a festival, which I'm fortunate enough is just down the road from me, because I live in an area in Byron Bay, northern New South Wales, where we have a number of festivals. We have the Blues and Roots Festival, which is very big, and then we also have the Splendour in the Grass. So I just got the nod to do a couple of shows there later this year, which is just perfect for me because I've just finished my major push into the live scene, doing an audio-visual extravaganza, in inverted commas, in about 2 months ago.
So what are your live performances like? I mean, your music, it's kind of hard to describe, so to speak. I mean, it's like electronica meets dance. It's very sophisticated. There's a lot of layers. So how do you bring all that into a live performance?
Well, it was interesting the way it evolved because actually the producers and people I was working with said, well, just DJ it. And for me, that's sort of too passive. We've created a video mix or a video clips for every track, and so the stage is set up so I have as big a screen as possible, and we project the clips onto the screen. I perform, I guess, next to the screen, sometimes interacting with the screen. And where possible, and certainly at my launch, we had a number of cameras so that I was actually able to then be included in the video feed, so I could actually be on screen as well. So that's sort of more the high tech side of it. And the other part of it is that I had a lot of fun last year, in particular, collecting a whole lot of masks, costumes, and just fun bits and pieces, but essentially masks and costumes that I use in different tracks, and some of that can be seen. Obviously, you can get a glimpse of that now in my showreel that you would have seen.
The concept behind Transworld Express is incredibly interesting. Can you just describe it to our reader base?
Yeah. Well, I've always been an aficionado of trains ever since I was a little kid, because my parents used to take me on interstate trips in those old carriages which had brass fittings and steam engines and all that sort of romance. But I finished I had a break from music from 2004 to 2008 where I got into local politics. I was a councillor and a deputy mayor of this beautiful region that I live in, because I really wanted to help protect it and also enhance the cultural aspect, because we have an incredibly, for a rural area, we have a very, very strong filmmaker and base and musician base and artist base. So I had a trip to Europe and for about 2 months, visiting old friends, but also buying myself a rail pass and travelling on the trains with a brand new MacTop Pro, Mac laptop, and also really great software. And I found that I was travelling on these trains and they were empty most of the time, and I had trips that lasted all day. So I found that each day that I travelled, and this was over about 10 days, not sequential, over about 3 or 4 weeks, I hadn't written music for about 3 or 4 years, and all these new ideas just poured out, and that was all that was also enhanced by all the wonderful new software and loops that I was able to find in on the programs. And so, like, as I say, you know, by the time I finished my 2 months trip, I had you know, about 10 or 11 pieces of music, sort of like, you know, the draft versions of 10 or 11 pieces of music up the sleeve. And that was very exciting. I guess what came out was what I was seeing in front of me, which was, you know, a lot of beautiful European scenery, but I also did quite a lot of exploration of sort of Holocaust memorials, concentration camp at Auschwitz, and stuff like that, where, because I've got family background of that, having lost grandparents in the Holocaust, and I suppose, you know, I've been a kid growing up in Australia, and I've tended to push that stuff to the side and never really felt that engaged in it, because, you know, I've always seen myself as an Aussie and Australian. But going back to that, it was a very strong experience. So I integrated all this travel, looking out the window, experiences of you know, the seeing the Holocaust stuff, but realizing that, you know, it's just a matter of chance of where you're born, you know, and how things happen to you, and you know, whether you're born to a wealthy family or a poor family. And what sort of times we live in, whether we live in times of fundamentalism or times of novelty, which really means times where there's innovation happening. So, you know, and the other thing I pulled together, just to finish on this little part of it, is is that I've done a lot of travelling in Asia in the past as well, particularly in Indonesia and India. So those elements always come to the fore in my music, you know, especially with a lot of the instrumentation that I use. I always, besides going into orchestral music at times, which comes from my classical background, I always also integrate a lot of Indian, Indonesian, and also Japanese musical instruments.
Okay, you've produced music for TV, for film, that you've produced. I mean, what else is there that you want to do that you haven't done yet?
Well, I guess my what I want to do is perhaps I'd like to break into the performance festival circuit as a performer. That's mm-hmm. very much what I'd like to do. I'd like to get my music. I guess one of the thrills I'm getting these days is the fact that through digital distribution and internet radio streaming, etc., that, you know, I can get my music out to way more people than I used to. And I just continue to get satisfaction from getting emails and confirmation that people all over the world in different countries are enjoying my music. So that's one part of it. The other thing that has changed for me in the last year or two is that I've become much more visual orientated, so that I'm aware that some of the clips that I'm creating myself and with technical assistance crossing into the realm of video art. And I feel that, you know, I know it's a fairly new genre, but I know in the USA it's a bit more advanced probably than here. But, you know, I feel my video clips are now not just a performance vehicle for me, but also a vehicle that I think can be used in art galleries or conferences and festivals. So that's one side of it. The other thing, as you probably gleaned through listening to my music, Patrick, is a social sort of an awareness of social issues and still, in a sense, even though I'm not sort of in full-time politics now and I'm very much back into the music scene, I really see music as a vehicle of change and a great way to sort of get your ideas and your thoughts out to the public. So, you know, I'm embracing issues in my music, such as going 100% renewable energy, looking at making people aware of the toxic legacies we leave, you know, toxic legacies such as pesticides, poisons, genocide, oil spills, you know, the oil spills in Alaska, etc. Try and an awareness of change. I've got that, for example, in my track Change Now. And that track Change Now came about in a sense because I found that being involved in politics, one of the things that people really hate is change. Everybody sort of wants to get into a comfortable groove.
Yes.
And yet life's not like that. You know, whether it's relationships or whether it's politics or whether it's whatever it is, things always keep changing. And I found that being, you know, in politics, people just clung to what they've got, and that creates a lot of the hassles we have, certainly in politics and in society.
What do you want people to get out of your live performances? Like, if someone walks over to you after a show is finished and they say exactly what you would like to hear, what do you think it would be?
Well, I'd like them to say that they really enjoyed the lyrics, because in my album, my lyrics are fairly sparse, because originally I was going to do an instrumental album, and then we decided to overlay vocals. And we also, by the way, what I forgot to mention before is that in my album also, of course, there is an overlay of live. I've got a friend who comes from a world music band called Sheva, an Israeli-Palestinian band. He plays beautiful santur. Mm-hmm. His name's Amir Pais. And he does a lot of work with an American guy called Jai Utal, who comes out of California, who does more sort of new world. So I'd like people to, and also, just by the way, there's also a lot of overlay of female vocals as well. But so what I'd like to answer your question, come back to your question, I'd love people to really enjoy the extra lyrics which are in my live shows, which are, you know, sometimes just fun and silly and provocative, and also a political as well. People have been enjoying the mask work that I've done. I've done quite a lot of, I've spent some time in Bali last year and collected I've got a good collection of quite crazy masks. And the movement, I'm sort of using movement. I used to do a lot of, theatre, avant-garde theatre, at university and in inner city Melbourne when I lived there many years ago. So I'd like people to be enjoying that sort of theatrical side of what I'm doing. And I'm really having fun doing that. It's sort of like something I haven't done for about 20 or 30 years is explore movement, you know, facial expressions, things like that. So, you know, it's quite I'd like them to come out of my show feeling that they've really had a multimedia hit. Word?
Yes. So is there anything else that you'd like to say to our reader base that, I mean, let's just think about it this way. Maybe some of them have never heard of your work, or maybe some of them have been, you know, waiting to hear what's next. I mean, what can you tell them?
Well, I can tell them that I think when you listen to my music, it's really good to have an open mind, because I'm very much not afraid to cross genres. And but I think to the, you know, listeners, if they stay with my music and listen to different tracks, they will find that there's a thread there. There's often a thread, which is the thread of a fairly constant beat in a lot of my tracks. I think that I'd like to say to them that they listen to quite a few of the tracks, they'll realise that I have a sense of humour, and I find sense of humour is a very important ingredient on the planet, and also musically. I don't like taking my stuff too seriously. And I think what my music will lead people on is an interesting journey. And that's what Trans World Express album about is in particular. It's a journey where I've set out to, and that's what I do in the show, Patrick. My first track is Trans World Express, where I'm really welcoming people onto a train, this imaginary train that takes people all around the world, where people sit on it comfortably, but they have a lot of different experiences, and they experience a lot of different musical cultures as well.